I'm Bob Franklin. Thanks for joining me. This is Like It Is. My guest is G.M. Desidero, and she is author of Undrowned. Desidero is a Chickasaw author born and raised in the Tri-Cities, Washington. We'll discuss her book and delve into her Chickasaw roots and experience finding community in the Chickasaw Nation.
Thank you for joining me. I want to talk about your book, but I'd like to go back and get some background information on you. And in your information that I read, said that you grew up knowing you had Chickasaw roots, but not having a personal connection to your tribe. Can you speak a bit more on that?
Sure. My great-grandfather, Jordan Ketch and Tubby Smith, was on the Dawes Roll for the Chickasaw. When the Dawes Commission put together the rolls, and I am Chickasaw by blood and heritage, I didn't have a connection, I would say, to my tribe until I got older and realized the significance of this connection. I grew up in southeastern Washington, in Kennewick, Washington, where my mom did. I learned stories about my family heritage, about my grandparents and my great-grandparents in Tishomingo. But it was really through storytelling that I began to form a relationship, a personal relationship with my heritage, and then a personal connection with my own tribe.
Speak a little more on that. I'd like to get a little bit more information for our audience.
Sure. So I began actually getting into storytelling because of my own children. When we were in the Marshall Islands for about 6 years, and during that time it was a very slow, kind of simple way of life. Our island was 5 miles long by half a mile wide, and we had no vehicles. We had no cell phone service or internet connection. And so when we did move to a place where we had a family car, for example, it was the first time that my children had really been in a vehicle. And there was a lot of motion sickness and a lot of fighting in the back seats. And so I began telling stories. It became kind of a family tradition where we would get into the car. And if there was any kind of disruption in the back seat, I would just begin telling a story once upon a time, and everyone would settle down. I began incorporating into these stories elements from Chickasaw tradition, different characters and different elements. And these stories kind of grew, and they became favorites for my children. They would ask for certain stories or certain characters. And when I got an opportunity around COVID to start writing some of the stories down that had been in my head, it allowed me to have a deeper connection with the storytelling and that significance as a means of bringing people together, because that's what it did for my family.
You spent some time in the Peace Corps, and I found it interesting about some of the places that you visited, and maybe you can talk a bit more about the experience in the Peace Corps. And I think you said that you came to appreciate history, story, language, how it connects to culture. Would you speak a bit about your time in the Peace Corps and some of the take-home messages that you experienced there?
So I served in Belize in a small community that was divided between Maya Mopan, Maya Baya Kachi, and Mestizo people in the community. And I was introduced to Maya Mopan mostly, and I picked up a lot of Spanish while I was there. But the cultures were very distinct and different. And for me, being a young person, outside of my comfort zone, living in a way that was new to me, without running water or electricity, and not being able to speak my native tongue, I quickly saw that my neighbors were very important. They were able to help me learn some of the language, provide me with resources for how to get around, and basically they were able to mentor me into a way of life that was otherwise a lot more difficult for me to pick up on my own. During that time, I was involved in the environmental education, and I have an environmental background, so working with individuals that were currently living in the Coxcomb National Wildlife Refuge, for example, where this is where the world's largest population of jaguar currently live. I was able to work between village members and the individuals living in Coxcomb at the time and form relationships between them. And it required a lot of being able to understand the different needs of the people who might, for example, be hunting on in the Coxcomb, which is, you know, endangered. There are a lot of endangered species in there. But, you know, you're not really thinking about endangered species when you're looking to feed your family and get ahead. So balancing needs and understanding, I think, people's point of view is very important.
My PhD degree is in heritage studies, and it was fascinating to be able to have this conversation with you because I really have a deep appreciation for cultural heritage, beliefs, and traditions that bind communities and cultures together. I'm just curious to know, as we get to your book, about the importance of culture, understanding, and really respect of different cultures. What do you say about the importance of respecting and appreciating cultures different than your own?
Well, I feel like that is a foundation for Chickasaw heritage, you know, respecting life in general, regardless of where it is from, I think is essential to my personal beliefs. As far as my book goes, I wanted to honor my traditional stories and to bring them into a modern kind of sense of storytelling, which would also honor where they came from. So modern storytelling is obviously very different from traditional storytelling in that there are certain reader expectations with regard to characterization and pacing. There's the three-act structure, for example. And as you know, traditional storytelling is very different since it comes from an oral tradition, which is very community focused and community oriented. So with pulling traditional stories into like fantasy, which is what I've done, it required building something new out of something that was older. And I hoped that I did that. And I would hope that I've honored my roots. I wanted to ensure that, because I understand the importance of storytelling, and I understand the need to be a good steward of this indigenous knowledge, I took my stories to the Chickasaw Press, which allowed them to be seen and read by a wide variety of different Chickasaw tribal members so that it could be vetted, I could say, that they could interview it and sit down with my characters and talk about themes and shape the story to improve it.
In your press release, it says about your book, Undrowned, it's full of themes of trust and expectations within suppressive environments. Can you cite present day examples of suppressive environments?
In my story, that the characters living in these suppressive environments stem from the traditional clans, Chickasaw clans. So I was inspired by specific stories from the Wildcat clan and Panther clan when I wrote Harissa, the character who was living in this suppressive environment. for me, when I wrote this character, because this is a young adult fantasy novel, I was thinking to connect with a readership that might be able to identify with that. And specifically, I think of Harissa as being a child who didn't really have a support system at home, a parent to be able to advocate for her needs. And she was kind of on the outskirts of society, someone who today you might see as being at risk, an at-risk youth. And I feel that many at-risk youths, especially those who have difficulty connecting to their identity, like Indigenous people, I feel like they are especially in a position where they need some kind of support. And it's often they're pushed to, I feel, grow up sooner than they really are comfortable with. I feel like they're often a little more mature than the average because they've had to do so much on their own.
How, in your opinion, does Indigenous people's folklore and generational storytelling have influenced fantasy literature, especially in the Y'all space?
How has it influenced in fantasy literature? For me, I can only really speak of how I feel like it has influenced fantasy literature. There were elements of the traditional stories that I wanted to be able to write. And with my imagination, I felt like the only story vehicle to bring them forward was fantasy. I feel like fantasy offered a way to bridge some of the story elements that I was writing about, like Sintolo, the horned serpent, the king of the Thai snakes, and some of the traditional clans like the Bird Clan. I wanted to be able to bring those into a modern storytelling. And some of the elements of fantasy are already there, but being able to write about them in a kind of a cohesive way where they all there's a structure for it meant that I was able to braid different elements together into like a capstone story that allowed for a more approachable way of engaging in those traditional stories.
Your heritage, your Chickasaw heritage, has it influenced your writing? And if so, how?
Yes, it's definitely influenced my writing. Prior to writing on Drowned, I never wrote any fiction. My background is definitely more in technical writing, and being able to read these traditional stories and learn so much more about them, and then I feel like having the courage to write them down, and this was a way for me to connect to my heritage. I feel like without these traditional stories and the guidance from them, I would not have nearly as strong of a connection. And I think like that's what they're for. They are to bring community together. They're to learn about your values. Often traditional stories have a lesson, and those lessons still resonate.
There's another question about, again, your roots and experience finding community in the Chickasaw Nation. So, can you talk to them on that?
So I grew up with stories of my own ancestry. My great grandfather, for example, he worked in one of the banks in Tishomingo, and I had heard a lot of these stories about him working in the bank, and apparently it was robbed, and he was an employee at the time when it was robbed. This was an interesting story for me growing up, but being able to become more integrated into the Chickasaw Nation allowed me to search out more of my own roots, learn more about my heritage, and see a lot of those places that were just stories to me. Now I feel like that personal connection, it allows me to learn more about the resilience that we have as Chickasaws, I feel it has been formative, a very meaningful experience to meet other tribal members and learn about their heritage and the similarities that we have.
Do you feel that your writings help to break down or challenge stereotypes that are out there?
I feel as though the stereotypes, especially in literature, occur because I think there's been a lot of appropriation of Indigenous knowledge, Indigenous art, and much of that occurs because there is no cultural relationship with the individuals creating the art. And for me, I feel as though that relationship is absolutely necessary. And because the flattening of Indigenous, when you're talking about stereotypes, I feel as though it occurs because they have drawn one line and kind of one facet of an individual or a group of people. If my stories were to only tell one very small aspect of Chickasaw storytelling, I feel like anybody could do that. Anyone could tell just one story and pull it out of context. But Chickasaw Nation, I would say the library of stories that we have is representative of the diversity of the different clans and the history. And it takes so many different types of people telling all of their different types of stories in order to create a better understanding of a culture, which is why I wanted to represent so many different Chickasaw clans in my story. There is a lot of diversity in Undrowned. There are different clans represented, like the Red Fox clan and the Bird clan, the Raccoon clan. I wanted to be able to create a diverse world because I feel like that was the only way to more accurately represent the type of diversity that exists within Chickasaw Nation.
And what advice, suggestion would you give to a young inspiring or an inspiring writer who wanted to follow in your footsteps and continue to write stories, positively encouraging stories about Chickasaw nations and other indigenous cultures? What advice would you give that individual and why?
I would say to read broadly, and I would say to begin writing now, and don't worry so much about the structure, but become familiar and comfortable with their voice, and definitely to form a connection with the elders, because I feel like that relationship, it will allow them to create a, if they're writing from tradition specifically, something that will resonate.
Were you ever at any point when you went on this journey afraid, not sure? And if you were, what inspired you to continue?
Oh, definitely. I had many different setbacks. In the editorial process, I certainly did. I overwrote when I first started, and I had to learn how to cut back on my characters and my plot line. Mostly, I was concerned that my story might not be accepted. I reached out to Chickasaw Press for feedback because I felt like that was very important to me, to get feedback from my tribe, because I understand that our traditional stories, they need to be safeguarded because this is how we draw our cultural identity. You know, storytellers are keepers of the fire for a reason. And when I am bridging modern storytelling and traditional storytelling, I recognize that that means that I am drawing from tradition, I am adding, I am subtracting, I am at some point, I am departing from tradition into my own imagination. It was very important to me that those certain aspects that when I talked about Lex and Tolo, or when I talked about the King of the Thai Snakes and I merged some of those ideas, that my tribe was behind me in this and that there might be a seat at the table for fantasy. So I was concerned about that because certainly I don't represent every single Chickasaw citizen. And my ideas are just that, they're mine, my imagination. And it's my interpretation of these traditional stories, right? And it doesn't have to be accepted. So I was fearful that that Chickasaw Press might see it and feel that it was inappropriate. But I was so thankful and grateful that there was an opportunity for it to be reviewed by so many different people and edited. That meant a lot to me.
So the response has been positive?
It has been, yes.
What might be your next work? Undrowned is your present work, and what might be your next work? But I'd like to, before you answer that question, the title. Tell me a bit, how did you arrive at the title?
So the capstone story of Undrowned, I've alluded to that. It was something that I realized was necessary to bring my story together, all of the different traditional elements. Separately, it lacked this a structure. It lacked a thorough line until I created this kind of capstone story. And the capstone story is, it draws from our traditional flood story. I wanted the flood story to be a part of my book. And Undrowned, the title, is a reflection of the resilience of the characters, but it's also a reflection of the story, this capstone story that I have created.
And your indigenous roots, Chickasaw, and it also be reflective of the strength and the culture and the vibrancy as well?
Oh, definitely. Yes. A Chickasaw Nation is definitely resilient. When you look at the history of my people and all of the, from the first encounter with Europeans to the point where they've created, you know, we have our own constitution as of 1837, when we were removed from Chickasaw territory to Choctaw territory for a while, you know, we had a code of written laws. And those were then abandoned when we entered into our own territory. And we separated at that point. In 1856, we drafted our first constitution, which was prior to Oklahoma statehood. Oklahoma statehood was early 1900s, 1907. And because of our constitution, Chickasaw Nation is a sovereign nation with new constitution ratified in the early 1983. The tribal government is sovereign. And I feel as though that sovereignty is really significant. It's significant because today we're able to be self-governing. We have our own system of government. We can make our own laws and rules, and we're still American citizens through all that we have experienced with cultural appropriation, you know, the genocide of our culture through boarding schools, for example. We have been through a lot.
What might be your next work or your next topic? It's so inspiring to be speaking with you and hearing the history, the strength, the resilience of the Chickasaw Nation. What might be your next work, next project?
I hope to write a second book to Undrowned. I do hope that it would be a series because there are other stories that I would like to tell. And I'm excited to have the opportunity to do that and working to continue to work with Chickasaw Press to do that.
My guest today on Like It Is was G.M. Desidero, author of Undrowned. I'm Bob Franklin. I'll be back next week with 30 more minutes of good conversation on another edition of Like It Is.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.